I don't really like sheep. So let's start there. I don't really like sheep because I see myself in them. I am stubborn and I really want to make sure that I take care of myself. And so all too often I catch myself pushing others into the line of fire. And so tonight, as we are meditating what seems a little bit too much on sheep and shepherds, I find myself implicated both as a sheep and perhaps sometimes as one of those hired hands who's not really the shepherd. 15 or so years ago, on a warmish spring day, not too unlike today, I found myself doing the unlikely thing of participating in a Bible study in the side yard of a house two or three doors down from me. I was living at the time in Parkdale in Toronto. It was the neighborhood that I had lived in for probably 3 or 4 years, and it was a neighborhood that in many ways was abandoned by the city. It had been abandoned by the mental health system, and it had been abandoned in many other ways. And I found myself in this unlikely position. I was in seminary at the time, and I found this really strange job with a dour Presbyterian who really loved spending time in boarding houses. He said it saved his faith, and I think it saved mine. So I was visiting my friends at this house, and my role was simple. Go and drink coffee, have conversation, see where it leads you, open your eyes, pay attention, see where God is at work, and then bear witness to that in the world. And so that sunny afternoon, the backyard was sort of thick with cigarette smoke, and my tongue was burnt with the taste of Folgers. I'm not sure it still has recovered. And the conversation took a turn as one of my neighbors began to talk about the 23rd Psalm. He began to recite it kind of out of nowhere, and many joined in knowing it by heart. And they all knew it in the old language, in the King James, the language of the Book of Common Prayer. And perhaps that's the language that you know best. I'm not sure. As for myself, I grew up with the New International Version, and so I found myself stumbling along with the these and thous as others recited from memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And at that moment, a few people got a little bit uncomfortable. But we carried on. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So for some, these were words of comfort. They were the kinds of words that familiarity wrapped around them like a blanket in a distressing world. But others responded to the same passage with a sense of suffocation. It brought up bad memories, picked at the scabs of still fresh wounds. And then there were still others who came to the psalmist's poem with a series of questions. And then one of my neighbors turned to me, of all people, and asked, "Hey, what's up with that song where they sing, 'I have cursed thy rod and staff'?" Any of you pick that song out? The conversation stopped, and I was stumped because I couldn't figure out what that song was. If you're from Ireland, you might know. Who was the artist? What was the context? I didn't know in that moment, and no one else seemed to either. And I did the only thing that I could think of in that moment and redirected the question to the person who was asking it. So what do you think is up with that song? What do you think it might offer us in response to the psalmist? And then we ended up in a crazy conversation. I have cursed thy rod and staff. I have cursed the times you've told me I'm worthless. I have cursed the times you've made me feel shame. I have cursed the times you've pushed me out of your community. I have cursed the times I have gone without the basic necessities of life, food, shelter, companionship, love, beauty, joy. I have cursed the times I have been alienated by others, been made to feel distant, inadequate, and less than, all in your name. I have cursed the rod and staff, the way they've been wielded against me, simply for being me. I went home that night overwhelmed by the conversation. I didn't know what to do with it. It had come upon me so suddenly, and it was surprising. I was coming to terms with how sheltered my middle-class existence was, and I didn't know what to do with it. And so, as a diversionary tactic, I started to try and figure out what on earth that song was. I think it was the years of Napster, and so I just, you know, kept on looking around. And so I looked for the origins of that snippet of a song that had stirred up so much conversation, so much emotion that night. And a few days later, I saw my neighbor on the street, and he handed me a cassette tape, whatever that is. You know, it's been a few years. It's a funny little piece of plastic, and it's actual tape in it. And then I had to go find a tape player. And so I listened, and I listened, and then came along these lines as the bridge to the song. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow, yea, I will fear no evil. I have cursed thy rod and staff. They no longer comfort me. Love, rescue me. And so I wonder where you are tonight. I wonder how you hear these words about God as shepherd. Because there are reasons to curse the rod and staff, especially when it has been used against us. And there are reasons to celebrate the rod and staff when it has been used to defend us. And I think for many of us, we have experienced it on both sides. We have experienced God's rod and staff as wounding, and we have experienced it exercised in defense of ourselves. And so we might want to curse the rod and staff, or we might want to curse those false shepherds who have used it in that way and claimed to be representatives of God. I don't really like shepherds or sheep, but one of the things that I like even less is the fact that the prophets are often edited out of the lectionary. And so one of the things that I want to do tonight is to actually read from the book of Ezekiel. And this, I think, will conclude my thoughts this evening. And I think it also frames really nicely when we're talking about the Good Shepherd, when we're thinking about God as the Good Shepherd. It grounds us in the tradition, and it grounds us in specifically in the prophetic tradition. And so this is from Ezekiel 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. Maybe you're hearing some resonances with the psalm. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. I wonder what that tastes like. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? When you drink of clear, still water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have fouled with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I've noticed that I often look for the darkness. And one of the things that I have been trying to do more recently has been to look for the light. I'm the kind of person who will dwell in the valley of the shadow of death because it's comforting to me, and not look for the way in which God is traveling with me. I will look at the abuses of the church, or I will look at the ways in which our political leaders are failing us, and I will fail to look for God's faithfulness in the midst of it. And so now tonight, for me and perhaps for us, I wonder what would happen if our view is of the world is re-enchanted. I wonder what would happen if our view of the world sees God in the true shepherd, that understands that there are many people out there who claim to be shepherds and who are not, who are stand-ins for those shepherds. I wonder what happens if we allow ourselves to believe for just a moment that God is faithful like this good shepherd, and that we are safe in her hands.